everyone. Welcome back to the Pretty Spectacular Football Show. As you know, I'm Pretty Gotez, and this is Dr. Spec over here, Mr. Spectacular. So, you know, football is just, we got spring games going on. We got draft, which is his favorite time of the year. And I understand why, okay? And then we just have everything just going to start fluttering back really, really soon. So why not talk about it? We're going to do some futuristic things today too, so I'm excited for that. But we're going to start off by talking about the NFL draft and the recaps. As y'all know, I did my fashion thing, who I liked, what I didn't like at Peachy Dawson was on TikTok. Go follow it. But right now, we're about to talk about who. Well, we're not about to talk about who. We're going to talk about maybe two or three teams that we feel like won the draft. And really, we're being biased because we're going to talk about we're going to talk about our teams because that's our teams that really matter because it's our show. So
that's exactly what's about to happen. What's about to happen is a absolute dive into fandom. And you're about to hear about my favorite team, which if you can't tell, you know what you're about to hear. And you probably about to hear some Steelers talk. And then you're going to hear sprinkle in your favorite team. If you want to hear about your team, ask a question or drop a comment.
You know what?
Yeah.
I feel like it's appropriate for us because we are so subjective all the time. We talk about everybody else. We barely talk about our teams. We barely become fans. No, we're barely fans on the show because we don't talk about anybody else's team. And I did the same thing over there, you know, Pretty Girls. I'm like, darn. I don't spill it out enough. Now, if you see it on my story, I'm spilling it out. Like, it's just, we steal nation out, okay? So today, we're dedicating to our fandom because we have, not only are we from two really good fan bases, our teams both won the draft. I mean,
that's not even subjective. That's somebody else's opinion. I'm sorry, that's not even like fandom or homerism. That's somebody else's opinion of who won the draft. And there's four teams included in that. The Indianapolis Colts, the Philadelphia Eagles, who win all the time, I believe, lately, and the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New Orleans Saints. Four teams, PFF graded A-plus grades for the draft. And like I said, if you got a team that you want to hear about, drop it in the comment. We'll talk about that. But, you got to hear about the four teams, and we're going to talk about two of the four teams that got A-pluses. So let's kick it off, Dez. Talk about your Steelers. I know you were proud of them.
Thanks. I'm super proud. I do just want to say, though, with the other two teams, I know you probably know more about that than I do on theirs. I feel like because the Eagles are always winning, I don't even need to talk about it. We know. The Colts are, you know, the Colts won surprisingly, and I don't really want to talk about them. But anyway, still nation. The Steelers 2024 draft class. I got to make sure I say the names correctly. I'm going to mess up the first name. When I tell y'all, I wrote it down. I wrote the pronunciation out. Even for the mock draft, I did the same thing. I wrote the pronunciation out, and I still be saying it wrong. But our first round offensive tackle, we got Troy Fatanu. Don't think it's right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good work.
Okay. Second round, we got a center, Zach Frazier. Third round, we got two in the third round. We got a wide receiver, Roman Wilson. And then we got Peyton Wilson. So Wilson and Wilson with Russell Wilson. We're not going to talk about that. Then we got fourth round, we got Mason McCormick. He's a guard. Logan Lee, he's a defensive end in the sixth round. And then we also got defensive back, round six, Ryan Watts. So not only do we get just about every position that we needed to fill, which I'm super excited, super proud about that, because for one, I'm like, I didn't know we had this many picks coming into the draft, but it was a matter of we filled every spot that we need to fill. And everybody was like, first round, why we didn't go receiver? Why we didn't go center first round? Because we need an offensive tackle. We need a guard. And what I like about Troy is that even though they say he will not be trained for a center, he is very versatile and can be trained or cross-trained to be a center. And we're mostly proud, too, for our first-round pick because Troy was a fan growing up. He loved Troy Polamalu. So you know what happened when we had another Troy. So now we got another Troy. We got two Troys, and we about to just Troy it up. I'm super excited, but I'm also just super proud that it seems like we're getting back to some stability with our football team. We're getting back to what looks like could be an offensive, it is an offensive game, but what looks like it could be an offensive turnaround from what we had. So Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. I mean, we signed, you know, a kick returner right when they changed the rules for kickoff. So I feel like we're trying to make the stars align, and we're getting back to what we know as Steelers football, and I'm just super excited about that. It might not seem super excited because I got to be a little bit calm while we're on the show, because now you won't be able to understand what I'm saying. But super excited about the draft class. I think we did really, really well.
I like your draft a lot, honestly. A lot of people were really excited about Troy Fatanu. I can't say his name. But a lot of people were excited about him. I'm serious. Like in New Orleans, if we weren't able to get Fuaga, there's a few Fs right across the board, right? You're either going to get Fuaga, or you're going to get Fatanu, or you're going to get, you know, some of these guys that were out there, Olufashanu, right? Like, there are a couple of those F guys, and everybody wanted at least one of them. And so Troy was one of those guys because he has position versatility, like you said, right? He has that versatility to play, you know, a few spots along the offensive line. You go out and you get Zach Frazier, so you don't have to worry about, you know, center anymore. He can play any one of those tackle positions or pop in that guard. You go out and you get Roman Wilson, which I love because this guy lit it up at the Senior Bowl. And if you know anything about, you know, us, you know that we go to the Senior Bowl and we cover it pretty hard body. And so when we're at the Senior Bowl, you see Roman Wilson throughout the week. I mean, just giving people work just all week long. And so
good compliments to George Pickens, too, because everybody was like, well, we need another. We got rid of Deontay. Relax. We don't need. And that's the thing is, like, if you're a real fan and you're, again, you know, because you know what your team brought, and they're like, it's always some chatter, you know. Yes, do we need a wide receiver? Yes, but you can get a wide receiver in free agency, or you can get him in a later round. We needed a standout tackle, period. We needed a guard, period. We needed a center, period. And that's what we took care of. Now, if we would have been like other teams and would have took other positions that we did not necessarily need for an immediate use, then I can see why you would be upset. But the fact that we got the immediate use, and the fact that we are now filling holes and filling gaps for our offense, which is what we knew we needed, so we can face teams like the Bills and be more competitive, and, like, you know, the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Ravens. And I mean, we're 7-1 against the Ravens. So I'm not what, well, yeah. But we can still be more competitive in that way to actually put up numbers. We struggled and put up all of 14 points for majority of the season last season. That's unacceptable. And Russell Wilson's an older quarterback, but also Justin Fields is now a younger quarterback. So the fact that we have now that mesh to where Troy can learn from both and protect, I'm just excited. I can go on and on, but I'm going to let you talk about your stats, because that's...
I mean, you should be excited. This is Peyton Willison, and if he didn't have any injury concerns, he was going to be drafted higher as well. You get him in the third round, I thought that was great value. People were talking about him early second, right? So when you look at him, pass rush grade, 76.8, run defense grade, 83.7. You see him, like, first in coverage stops. Like, he was a guy who people had their eye on, athletic, right? So you pull in the Peyton, like, you get him where you got him in the draft, the value is through the roof. And I love the fact that y'all always have great linebackers, right? And now you just bring another one into the fold. And so, especially, you know, I mean, golly, what y'all
learn by, he's about to learn under Watt. Be for real. Like, he's just going to be great. Like, we do defense really, really well, as we know that. Defense is really, really well. And our offense struggled for a little bit. And like I said before, we're rebuilding. So here we are. We're rebuilding. And now we're built. So now all we got to do is continue to get better. I love it.
Y'all same did thing work. With the y'all did work. And so for my Saints, man, I definitely want to talk about what they did in the draft, because it was, I don't know, just impeccable work. If you really... What can I say?
The way you said it, impeccable work.
It was the type of work that you only see, you know what I mean, once in a while. Let's look at it, right? So you, in the first round, you go out and you get Fuwaga. And going out and getting Fuwaga, he went, and I may be, you know, butchering that name too. That's the way I've been saying it the whole pre-draft season. So Fuwaga it is, right? He's been a guy, like, if you were at the Senior Bowl, he dominated the Senior Bowl. Latu was getting cooked by this guy and every other defensive end was getting cooked by this guy. He's a huge offensive tackle, primarily at the right tackle spot, which we need to replace Ryan Ramczyk. And you look at a guy like this and you're saying, man, I think he could come in and play, you know, right tackle immediately if we need to kind of plug and play. He's a guy who can plug and play there. The question is Ramczyk going to be okay? If he's not going to be okay, because they're talking about an injury that could be career ending, so he may be gone, right? We don't have somebody who we can believe in at the left tackle spot either. If Ryan comes back, then, you know, we can probably move Fuwaga over there. But right now, I'm thinking Fuwaga goes there and we go out in free agency still and try to bring back Andres Pete or somebody that, you know, can possibly help us out. And there's a possible answer right here in the draft. We'll talk about that too. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Kool-Aid should have been a first-round draft pick. Period, right? But he wasn't. He got injured. And if you look at, you know, he still ran a 4.47, I believe, in the 40 prior to the draft. You just kind of show people, hey, look, I'm okay, right? I mean, I'm not at full speed, but I'm, you know, I'm doing well. You know, cornerback from Alabama, we get him in the second round. We do trade up to get him. And what I love about this draft for the Saints is they have a trend where they like a guy, they go get a guy. And they buck everything. They say, forget everything. And they go up.
With the Denver Broncos. Never mind.
Yeah, they go up and get their guy. They really do. And here they were patient. They were patient at 14, stayed stuck, and got Fuwaga. And in this particular case, they're like, you know what? F it. Forget it. We can't. We got to go get our guy. So they jump up and they go not too far up, and they don't give up any future assets. But they go up and they get Kool-Aid, and I thought that was a good pick. The pick of the draft, according to RG3, the pick of the draft, according to Ryan Wilson, the CBS, the pick of the draft, according to a lot of people, is this one right here in the fifth round, right? And I hold up three because that's probably where Spencer could have went. I could even hold up a late two because that's where he could have went. In the fourth, he could have went there. But no, at pick 150, the longest drought ever, right, I'm guessing in modern draft history, between the last quarterback taken in the first round and the next quarterback taken. So the last quarterback was taken late in the early in the first round, and then from then on, you don't hear another quarterback's name until this name was mentioned, Spencer Rattler. And I put it on freaking you know, X, on Twitter, whatever you call it nowadays, and I screamed, right? I said yes with my list really loud, right? Because Spencer Rattler, you thought he was going, you know, early second in the third or whatever, right? But you get him in the fifth round at great value. What I heard a lot is that this guy, what you're seeing here, is that Spencer Rattler dropped so far because NFL teams, they went back and looked at something he did on Netflix when he was a younger kid, right? And they couldn't get that out of their minds. And Ian Rappaport reported on it, and they saw. And, you know, if you go back and you watch that, right, and which I haven't seen it, but I heard a lot about it. He's cocky on the show. He's immature on the show. He shows all that. They can't get that out of their mind. They let him fall. He falls all the way to the fifth round, and the Saints are hoping to benefit from that. Hopefully it's the steal of the draft. We'll see. I think I wrote an article about this morning that we dropped it. I think Saints fans are getting way too excited about this guy, and they're thinking he's going to be our savior for the future. They're already, you know. Yeah, they think Rattler is going to be Rattler Nation. That's basically what's happening right now. Saints fans.
I love it. You know why? Because I feel like when it comes to players like him, you know how it is. Like, you know what you can do. He was great at South Carolina. It's not like he wasn't. It wasn't like he was like a bum.
Yep.
You know, and you see names go ahead of his who are. Anyway, so he now has a chip on his shoulder. And he going to play like he has a chip on his shoulder. And if he takes it the right way, then he's going to be like, you know what, all you, just like the Tom Brady effect. All y'all slept on me. All you guys passed up on me. And guess what? I'm actually better than Bo Nix. I'm actually better than Michael Penix. I can actually stand with the best of them. But because you let that first impression before you even actually get to fully meet me. You allowed that impression to overlook my skill and ability. So now I got to show you better than I can tell you. So hopefully he takes it that route and he does become a savior for the Saints, because I don't believe Derek Carr, right?
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah. I don't believe Derek Carr is the answer. The other man that I don't know who he is, but y'all picked him. Y'all picked him up and signed him or whatever. I want to say it's Doug, but it ain't Doug. I don't know, child.
We have what's my dude, man? This guy sucks. Nate
Peter. Well, exactly. Yeah. Spencer can come in here and be the same. Spencer can be the new Drew Brees for the Saints. And I mean it in a way of him coming in and making the team his own, him coming in and learning. And now the team becomes a staple for where he is and where he could take them in the future. Sometimes, like I said, even teams that patch up on Patrick Mahomes are now probably like, darn, scratching their head. Like, we did that. Yeah, y'all did that. And guess what? He took it personally. And then made himself better as a professional. So I think it could be. I think we just gotta sit around and watch.
It's so funny you bring up Patrick Mahomes. I saw earlier where somebody graded his the listen to this, right? I'm gonna just read you this. Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech, on Kansas City Chiefs from Buffalo. This they traded up to jump in front of the Saints. Grade C-. Calling Patrick Mahomes a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL, and honestly, he may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. This was a risky pick.
Sips, the iced coffee because it ain't tea.
Yo, that's a draft analyst perspective.
Is now a two-time Super Bowl champ. So when you get the right coaches, you get the right belief system in you, you get the right development for your mechanics. Patrick Mahomes can throw a pass in four seconds. You know, first down pass, touchdown, whatever, in like less than 4 seconds. So it's like, exactly. You say all these things about that person, and guess what he did? Took it personally. And now he's awesome. Is this the Pretty Steelers Saints football show, or are we going to talk about any other teams? Excuse me. We said at the beginning that we were just going to fandom real quick. But you know what? Let's go ahead and move on. Don't even worry about it, babe. Let's talk about the losers of the draft.
You know what? I do want to talk about those losers, but Bud Means, Jalen Ford, Christian Boyd, and look, Josiah Isarim. I'm gonna say something. This is my last thing I'll say. Go look up Josiah Isarim's video of when he got picked, and it will give you all the feels that you're looking for from a NFL draft call. This man lost his freaking mind when he got that call in the 7th round.
I wanted us to talk about some of those today, like the reactions and all that. Maybe we can do like a little or something.
I love
seeing like the real ones. Because obviously, you know, you get the call first, but it's something different when you, even if you know you're going to get called or you know you're going to win, it's something different when you hear your name called and you see your name up on that screen and everything. And there were some of them that just made me be like, oh my God. You know, like, especially some of my dudes from Clemson, like from Rook. Oh my goodness, that African family. I'm like, why wasn't I invited? You're not part of the family. It was so amazing. And those reactions are the winners of the draft. How about that?
And I'll give you that 100%. Your Clemson Tigers actually did work in this draft. And I wanted to, and I kind of thought about that for you because you covered them so amazingly last season, right? Yes. I thought about you when I just kind of kept hearing some of those names come off the board. Will Shipley, like, you know, all those guys. And I kept thinking about, you know, how much work you have put in to cover them and then kind of seeing that kind of stuff pay off. So I thought about that for you. That's really cool.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten more to like know more of them individually. I did, again, being in a post press conference, you do get to talk to them a little bit. But again, my first year being with the team is kind of different from if I'm like year five with the team. So hopefully within the next year or so can get more developed and, you know, get in there. But everybody has something to say about Dabo Swinney. I think you should just Travis Kelce saying, watch your mouth. Mind your place and watch your mouth. Because right now, I forgot what if it was 88 or 89, he has that many draft picks currently, the most for an active coach that is still coaching within college football. So that program, if you know, you go to that program, you're going to get the work. And I want to also congratulate Florida State University because I was with them too. They had a lot of people get drafted. I love that Jordan Travis got drafted to the Jets. A lot of those guys. We'll talk about
Jordan. Brandon Fisk gets drafted. We'll talk about him later on. That was a big pull. I thought he did great work. There's a lot. My boy, so the best. Okay, last Bills. Thing on winning. Bills. Last
the homeboy from the Bills.
Yes.
I have a video of him from press conference on my phone. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel famous because I was in press conference with him, like in his face. And he towered over me, of course. So I'm looking up at him with my little phone.
You got that video?
I believe I still have the video. You probably can't hear him because so much.
Don't hold that. Drop that. Drop that. This is Keon Coleman time. This is Keon Coleman season. My boy came in, and I wish I had the clip. Like, me not having the clip.
Cookies. His draft reaction is really why I was, like, a little teary-eyed. Because I'm like, I watched this boy the entire season. Not only did I get to talk to him, him and Jordan Travis. But the fact that I was actually there, got to talk to him during the post-game. And then, like, the reaction was he immediately hugged and thought and thanked his mother and said, I love you. And he was like, I'm trying not to cry. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then you see him in press conference with all the personality. He got cookies, asking for snacks. He's still a little youngin'. He was like, yeah, I got my coat. I'll go get it from Macy's. And I'm like, I wish we had the clip because the clip was lit. Maybe we could steal this piece. So, talking about the clip, we can add the clip later.
And drop it in there, It's the most Louisiana thing I've ever seen. I'm dead serious, right? Like, I'm from Louisiana. It's the most Louisiana thing I've ever seen in a post game. I mean, in a first, introductory press conference, because he basically just laid it all out there. And of course, I've learned all the same lessons that he's learned. He's come from Opelousas, right? Which I love people from Opelousas. Those my people. in college, that used to be a crowd I used to hang with. Anyway, but. From Opelousas, he learns all the same lessons that I learned. You shop a season ahead, right? Two seasons ahead, so you get the cheaper prices, right? He talked about all that kind of stuff. He's like, I bet you ain't gonna guess where I got this from. And then boys,
they just knew he about to say some extravagant plays, and he's like, I got it on sale.
What you mean?
I got a blue one. Like, he went and got his little cookies or whatever he got them from, and. You know, but it was so refreshing and lighthearted, and I'm gonna go get a fangirl. Don't give me a jersey, fangirl.
I'm a fan. Period.
Fan at this point, like he's the best. He had the best introductory, the best moment, like, and it was so real. So
So you know what? I wish we would have kept this while we're talking about that. I'm gonna have to switch that out. In post production, but he was a winner, and then my homeboy from Carolina, that's another winner, but we'll talk about that later too. That's another winner. Let's talk about the losers. Go for it.
Okay, so although they didn't get an F rating, they did get a head scratcher rating, and they got a C minus.
They got the lowest rating. So PFF didn't give out any D's or F's. The lowest grade they gave out, and I don't know if they're being nice or what, but the lowest grade they gave out was a C-, and Atlanta, they get it.
I feel like, okay, I'm a fan of Michael Penix Jr.
I am. Yes, I am.
Great young man. Respectable. Yes. I didn't know he was that old, but whatever. I got to see him in various different TV play, whatever. I get it. I want him to succeed because I like him. Great left hand, and he's left-handed. I'm left-handed. We just need to be friends. So I get it. But what I don't get is when you're in this league, and I've seen lots of videos on it, so know that my opinion is the same thing as their opinion. But when you don't get what you immediately need in the draft, which is what the draft is really for. Get what you immediately need. Yes, can you get your future players too? But you get your future players sometimes in the later rounds. You get what you need immediately if you want to win, if you want to be super competitive. If the goal is the Super Bowl, and everybody's trying to go to the Super Bowl, not everybody. But if the goal is to get to the Super Bowl, you need to take what you immediately need. And I just feel like because they were so gung-ho and stuck on, we like him, we can't let him falter or whatever. He may not be there at the end or in the second round or whenever. We're going to get him now. And it's like, what? And it's a slap in the face to both of them, Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins, because it's like, you just paid Kirk $180 million. He on a four-year contract. Even if he don't last 4 years, even if he only lasts for two, you still going to sit Penix for 2 years. You pay him $180 mil. He's about to be on a rookie contract. What are you doing? I understand we need him for the future, because if we have him for the future, then we have a really good problem. Blah, 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 blah. You could still pick up somebody like a Spencer Rattler to give you a really good problem who can still fit into the Atlanta mold. You can pick up somebody else later on in the draft that may still actually be there. You pass up Rome Odunze to take a quarterback, and you don't need a quarterback?
Hold on. Do we not have sound effects on here? Because I'm trying to drop a bomb.
Like, are you crazy? You sent him to Chicago? What are you doing? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like,
yo, people would have had issues if people would have had issues. People would have had issues. If they would have picked Rome, people would have had issues. They probably would have been like, you don't need Rome, da da da, whatever, right? You need defense. But you're absolutely right. You got Rome on the board, right? Go ahead. Because you preaching.
I'm just saying, you go out and you get, you know, Bijan Robinson. You got it's just so many. And then one of my friends, he is actually like, he probably not gonna be a Falcons fan, no, you know, after this. But this is interesting. I don't know if you want to fill in the gaps really quick. Look at that boy on the screen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So this is, it was like a tweet or something. I'm going to read it really quick. I know we be on these subjects going, but it says it's the Falcons. This is for the Falcons.
Yeah.
And all the draft picks. They drafted a tight end, fourth overall, over Jamar Chase, Micah Parsons, Jalen Waddle, or is it Waddle? Whatever, Jalen, and Devontae Smith. So they draft and they leave all these on the board. Then you draft Drake London over Garrett Wilson and Kyle Hamilton. We know Miles Garrett, to defensive player of the year. And then you pass on Jalen Carter, you know, was last year or the year before.
To draft
a running back at pick 8. So you draft your running back. Maybe not a problem. You got your running back, Cool Bean. But then you draft, I believe he's 24, but they said 25. 25-year-old quarterback with 7 ACL tears a month after signing a four-year deal. You pass on Rome Odunze, Laiatu Latte, and Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
And then it says, fire Terry. I'm not hearing any more arguments. He needs to effing go. But when you look at it that way, again, this ain't my tweet. It was something that was sent to me. But when you look at it that way, you look at the names they have left on the board, look at the names they've passed up. A lot of these names on this list right now are defensive players of the year. They're making something shake for their teams. So these you're passing up on what you need immediately for what you want futuristically. And the game of football is not futuristically, if we're being honest. The game of football is right now. What are you going to do right now? When the fall starts and preseason kicks off, what are you going to do? And I had to hold my jersey accent because I was about to say kicks off. What are you going to do?
I love that analysis. I love whoever tweeted that. I love their intimate knowledge of their team, right? And I don't know if they're still a Falcons fan or not, but what I love is that they go back and they basically help you relive the you know problems of being a Falcons fan. And as a Saints fan, I really love that fact that they're going through that. Either way, just true. But as I listen to these problems they have with great joy, I think about Kyle Pitts when he's coming out, and he was a freak of nature. He was in college. He is somebody who you're looking at and you're saying, this guy is a once in a generation type of talent. And you're thinking that you're going to, of course you select him. It wasn't far-fetched for them to think they were getting the unicorn, basically, right? And they had done this in the past to the benefit of all Falcons fans. In the past, they were very aggressive going up and getting Julio, and he was a freak of nature. He was the unicorn, and he panned out. And so this new group is thinking, hey, look, we see a guy like Kyle Pitts. No way you go out and you pass up on a guy like that if you have a shot at him. So they took him. Bijan Robinson is another great player. Like, we met Bijan. We have interviews with Bijan. Just check the channel, right? He's a very humble guy. Like, if I was drafted and I met him in person with all that talent and his personality, ain't no way I'm passing on him either, right?
But so, you got to find somebody to complement these players. And Michael Penix is not complimenting them right now.
Not right now. So, okay, if we look at this current situation, and I don't think they're right. Now, if you look at the rest of their draft, right, they addressed everything that people are having problems with, right? They go out and get a great defensive tackle.
You could have got the best defensive tackle the first round.
That would have been way too high.
Okay, we don't want to take defense in the first round. Okay, cool beans. You still could have filled some of these other positions higher. You need people that's going to help Kirk Cousins win you some games. You know what he's going to do. He's going to help you out during the regular season. But what you need is your postseason progression. What do you need to get you to where you want to be? So if you want to beat the Saints both times and win out the division, what do you need to do? If you want to make it into the playoffs, which you haven't made in a very, very long time, you want to make it into the playoffs, you have to have a team that's going to be able to compete at a playoff level right now, not 2 years from now. Because 2 years from now, you don't know if you're still going to have those same exact players at that same exact level and eliteness that you have that. So I get it. Yes, Michael Penix is the future. I understand. Woo-hoo, la-la. Hey, ho-ho, Michael Penix is the future to go. I got it. But are you basically saying you're okay with not being that great until Michael Penix steps in, which that still is a slap in the face to Kirk Cousins? So it's a slap in the face. But, you know, I'm tired of talking about losers.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong in what you're saying. I think you're absolutely right. It is a slap in the face to Kirk Cousins because they didn't let him know until, you know, they're about to make the pick. They call him, hey, bro, we're about to pick, you know, your replacement eventually. Yeah, we're about to take a quarterback. And Kirk, you know, he got to deal with it. Like, in that moment, they did tell him that within the next 2 years we would do it. He didn't know, like, this year was going to be the year, to be honest with you. Right. So it is what it is.
It sounds like you threw all that money at him. Again, I see some of the ultra singles, like, you got to pay him for the feeling. You don't pay a feeling that much money.
They wooed him. They got him in, and they got who they wanted. And Atlanta fans were very, very excited about it. But as I look at it, Kirk keeps getting paid. He's going to be all right.
He will be all right. But you don't want to piss off the sideline. Huh?
Your replacement is on the sideline. Like,
right.
Like, if you falter, if you slip, if things start going awry, your replacement is here already. So Kirk can be all right, but I'll be honest with you. I understand why they made the pick. They don't think they're going to be drafting this high again in the near future, which they're probably wrong because they're the Falcons. So, but they believe in themselves, and they don't think they're going to be up here again.
Yeah. believe in yourself. Go ahead. I just wish that, again, I didn't know how old Michael Penix was, and I keep forgetting age is a thing in this league. But it's also wish, like, you know what, he could have went somewhere and probably been a starter and maybe starting his career instead of having to sit cold for two. I don't get it. I still don't get it. First round pick and sitting cold for 2 years. Anyway, moving on. We got to move on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I was gonna throw it to you.
Go ahead. I'm ready.
Another thing that we talk about losers is, you know, half of this channel we started off was HBCU players in football. So I know Dr. Spack wants to dive into that.
Yeah, so if we talk about losers of the draft, I would say it would be, to me, our HBCU players, right? And so, because once again, even with the Legacy Bowl, even with, you know, the emphasis that, or the attention that HBCU players were getting for the last few years, the, you know, the intent of the NFL to draw eyes to our HBCU players, like the HBCU Combine, right? Even with all these things, or these iterations of things to draw eyes to the talent that's at the HBCU level, I saw this tweeted, just like you kind of shared a tweet. I saw a tweet that kind of, you know, shook me too. Somebody said, and I don't know if you know, it's probably like maybe fifth round, sixth round, somewhere in that range. They pulled a guy from, you know, Europe, right? And they were saying they're drafted out of the country before they go draft.
But that's
HBCU
they do in the WNBA, players. so I ain't even. Surprised me.
And, but this guy hadn't played football. He's a rugby star, right? Like, he ain't never played football.
But he's good for kicking. He'll be good for kicking, though.
No, he's actually, they got him on the offensive line. He's tall. He's big. He's ridiculous. Yeah. His traits are ridiculous. All right, but I'm going to say this, right? Yes, his traits are ridiculous, but let's go and see, you know, who he could compare to. There's a guy, Howard Donkwe from he's offensive tackle, 6'8", 362 pounds, right? He was a difference maker for the Bison. They went to the Celebration Bowl, if you remember, right? And he's their offensive tackle. He does go, and this is kind of what I want to talk about here. They didn't get drafted, but because, and this is the saving grace here, right? Because they didn't get drafted, and we didn't have a lot of players who were drafted from the HBC, actually none were drafted. However, these opportunities.
This is the second, if you talk about stats, I had it down the word. This is the second This is the second time in 3 years where zero HBCU players have been drafted. And I know you're going to go into, you know, the mini camp invites and the UDFA signs and all that. It's still not as good as being drafted. I won't steal your shine and your thunder there and give my think piece. I'll let you do yours first. We got a graphic.
Yeah. I see where you go. No, ain't no graphic. I'm talking. So we got Elkhorn State. We got Jervon Howard going to the Green Bay Packers. I know you remember him because I think you
I do. You know, I do. I interviewed and actually talked to him. I feel like I should have made him my man. I'm just kidding. Swag Media Day. I'm gonna let you
say it again. What you say?
Finish up the games before I say what I was gonna say. I found an interesting thing on NFL.com.
All right, bet. Terrell Jennings is another running back from Florida A&M. He got a minicamp invite. One of the guys who actually shined at the Legacy Bowl.
We don't want minicamp invites because that doesn't mean anything.
Give me a second. I must talk about these players on purpose. I'm gonna tell you why. Okay. So, yeah, I'll tell you why. Not just swag players, because of where these people got seen, right? So, for instance, the Legacy Bowl's impact matters. And so if you look at Isaiah Majors, Florida A&M, he really went off. I know you covered that team, too, as a linebacker. But he did well in the Legacy Bowl and that week of Legacy Bowl practice. The Saints were there for that whole time, so they invited him to a mini camp, and that's probably where he got seen. You got guys like Marcus Riley. Marcus Riley actually did well, too, in that Legacy Bowl. He goes to the New York Jets. He actually ran pretty well. He's going to the New York Jets. Jordan Towles going to the Baltimore Ravens. Mikey Victor, who should have been drafted. And that's what that's. So we actually talked to we actually talked to Blue from the Blue Bloods. He covers all the FCS. And he said if there's any guy who he thought would get drafted from the HBCU level, it would be Mikey Victor. Last year. From
Alabama? Is that the Alabama one?
Yep. Yep, that's the Alabama State kid, right?
I will make sure I have the right name.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And Isaiah Bolden was the lone player who got drafted last year. He went to the New England Patriots. Mikey, so the Patriots go back into the HBCU level and go get Mikey Victor. And so I thought that was big. Ian Wheeler, who played for Howard, right, in that Celebration Bowl, he gets signed with the Bears. And then I want to say shout out to last person, Xavier Smith, who got drafted. Who signed last year, but he signed the contract extension this year with the Los Angeles Rams. There are plenty more names that, you know, we can talk about. And if you want to find this list, I'm going to shout out. I'm going to do something that most people wouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, that's who we are. I'm going to do it. Go to HBCUsports.com. They have a tracker, and they are tracking all the signings for the HBCU players. So go to HBCUsports.com, and you can find that tracker, and you can see where these HBCU players are going and being signed. So nobody got drafted, but players are getting signed. Go check them out for it. What's your stat?
Okay, well, I don't like to be the Debbie Downer or the bearer of bad news, but – I do want
to
say.
You've been waiting to be.
I have not.
Yo, last one. Shout out to Sundiata Anderson going to the Seattle Seahawks. Go ahead.
I have
still our vibe.
Going to say though is I'm going to double check before I say what I got to say because I want to make sure.
Okay.
So I'm correct. So I get the whole tracker thingy, but. People that are like me that like to follow the NFL through the NFL. So when I looked at the NFL.com, they actually have, and this was updated. A lot of this was 2 days ago updated. No, what's today? The 29th. This was updated today at 3:03 p.m. It tells you this is the undrafted rookie free agents team signings after 2024 NFL draft. And a lot of the names that you mentioned are not on this list. So we don't know what's actually going on or whatnot. Yes, keep fun with the tracker. That's cool. But also pay attention to this. I also do because we are educators first. I know we like to talk.
Tell me what name and I'll find your name.
In terms of, I've already looked at them. I've seen them. Some of them are not on there. Like if you look at the teams, you said somebody is going to the Green Bay Packers, right? You got Trent Jones.
Yeah, that's guard. Howard.
That's what I'm saying. So I said not all of them are on there. Like, for example, the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. The New York Jets column is empty. It's empty.
Oh, no. So that may not be updated yet. Go to the Saints.
It literally was just updated Monday, the 29th. The at 3. I'm not doing all of that. Why am I going to the Saints?
I'm saying go to the Saints. I want to check something. Quality control.
What do you mean? I'm not doing all that. I'm trying to teach and tell what is an undrafted. We need to talk about what is an undrafted free agency.
What do you see for the Saints?
I'm not looking at the Saints. What's the name for the Seattle Seahawks?
No. I'm saying if you go to the Saints,
minicamp invites will not be on this list. By the way,
I'm not looking for minicamp invites. I'm looking for signings that I know. So, how many players do you see for the Saints?
The Saints have quite a few.
Okay,
you want me to count all of these?
No. Just roundabout.
How about this? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15. If I'm correct.
Okay.
The Saints have 15 UDFAs on here.
That's about right. Okay.
As of today, 3 p.m. So. Like I say, we don't know fully what's going on, but we do know the NFL does update this and track that they just updated 4 hours ago. But what I wanted to say in order to construct that, I didn't know what the UDFA contract was. So I had to look it up to figure out, I'm like, okay, what does this even mean? What's this going to go? Because I seen these people are getting signed. And then I seen, well, these people are getting minicamp invites. And I'm like, what? Because if you don't know, you're about to find out because that's what you're supposed to be here for. Regardless if we want to sit and argue and say, oh, this is not updated or not.
I don't think it is because there's no way that an NFL team at this point hasn't made some signings of UDFAs. There's no way. It happens directly after the draft.
There's quite a few teams on there who have this.
There's no way. The competition.
Yesterday, the 49ers didn't have anybody, and I checked it yesterday because when we talked about, we said we was going to talk about it, and I've been tracking it myself because I started tracking the HBCU players, and as of yesterday, I only had four. By the time I stopped looking, I had four, and I think
they may not. It may not be reported there, but there's no way that these teams have been inactive from the end of the draft, which happened at the end of Saturday, to today, that they've been inactive and signed nobody.
Their email to their communications people, to their player personnel and development people, and ask them how you can go ahead and send them an email. That's quite a bit of them on here. So like I was saying before I got interrupted, so we can move on. Okay. Let's get into it.
I'm just being honest.
Free agent. This man don't know his manners. Interrupt me while I'm talking. Is essentially a player, and the contracts can be any time length, any amount. And what I was reading through is that a lot of them are used for training camp purposes. Some of them, if they're really good and they're standouts, they'll make the practice squad. And they say very rarely do they make the actual 53-man roster in the team. But if you get signed to the practice squad and the practice team, then essentially you'll be on that team and you get more time. So essentially everybody that's in the UDFA has to continuously try out and try not to get cut from OTAs, training camp. If you get invited, you know, whatever your contract says, you know, the NFL does a good deed with doing contracts and all that. So a lot of these players that are coming in, they're going to sign a whole lot of UDFAs because they want to have a plethora of people to play against them when they go to training camp and have people in the practice squad that are of good caliber and of good standing. So if you didn't know what it was, that's what it is. It's not saying that you the person is going to be on the team. It's not saying that they're going to make it all the way through, but they have a chance to show and prove themselves as to why they could be on the team and on the roster. A few players, and we're talking about HBCU, if we're going to talk about HBCU space, because I'm talking about all in general. If we're going to talk about HBCU space, there has been some players who have made it to make like training camps, training camp rosters, and practice squad rosters. And some of them have been able to step in if, you know, key players are hurt or so, depending on what they do and how their contract lasts. So what we really need to see is that they get longevity contracts so that way they can make it into at least going to training camp and at least going on to the practice squad to get through OTF. I keep saying OTFAs. They can get to the OTAs.
So they can and then get training camp.
OTAs and then training camp. And then hopefully we can actually see them advance and make it. So if you're looking for players, again, any player at this point that maybe didn't get drafted, any player that you're like, well, I seen them ball out. You know, a lot of players from the Senior Bowl did not actually get drafted, so they're trying to get signed with a lot of these different teams. So prayers up to them. Let's hope that they get there. But if you didn't know what the contract was, because I really did not know what that meant. I'm like, I understand. I knew what mini camp invites are. I mean, you need to come to mini camp and you need to do your best. Because I actually know some people who actually went to HBCUs. One person went to VUU. And he got invited to the Bills training camp. Not 1 year, 2 years in a row, maybe three, but at least 2 years in a row. And he just, something he was doing, he just couldn't make it out of the mini camp. So pray for your favorite players. That's all I was trying to say. Follow the tracker for any person that's not HBCU that you want to see. And if your favorite didn't make it, you better hope they do. But
yeah.
Got to do now. We got to move on because we've been on here for 49 minutes, chat. We like to talk. Can't y'all see me love football that much? We love it that much that we'll go back and forth together. But before we do our commercial break, we do have to talk about we're gonna make some futuristic like crazy predictions. It's so early, but we're gonna make them anyway. We're gonna do Rookie of the Year, offense and defense. I'm gonna let Ernest go first because Dr. Spack. Sorry, I'm gonna let him go first because I don't know. I'm struggling on this one.
I got this one clear. I'll say, you know,
in our slide, man.
But look, I'll say that I hear your point on, you know, on NFL.com. However, I if you want to know, right, you can follow a lot of things on Twitter, and you can find out how these HBCU players are being signed, because they are being signed. And I see your point of it'll be tough for them to make it through. But here's a name I'll give you. I just give you one name, Emmanuel.
No, Wilson, we don't want any more names. We've heard you say all the names. We got to
listen. His name is Emmanuel Wilson. His name is Emmanuel Wilson. Last year he played for the Packers. He made it through training camp. That story she just said, that he made it through training camp and he made it on their roster and he contributed to their playoff
game. Good for him. Come on the show. Tell us your journey.
You are hating to a different level.
Right. I just shot my shot. I shoot my shot anywhere. I shot my shot on Twitter and I got me an interview because I was, hey, coach.
All right, let's go. So we got rookie of the year predictions, and our rookie of the year prediction.
I'm not sure why Bo Nix is up here. Is that your winner? That's your rookie of the year?
Is Bo Nix my rookie of the year? He could be. Let me get to my thing. All right, so. But my actual rookie of the year prediction is Caleb Williams. And the reason I'm going with Caleb Williams it's not for the reason you think, because he's coming in as the first pick overall. It's not that. It's because he's coming in and they flooded the team with weapons. Like, I feel like even Bo Nix comes in and he has at least one guy he's familiar with, right? But if you've had a chance to be the guy, Caleb had the head start that nobody else has. He's known for about a month now that he's going to the Bears. He's had a chance to even work out with Keenan Allen, right, and DJ Moore, and get to know some of his, you know, teammates that he's going to be playing with. Keenan Allen showed up at his pro day. He has an advantage over other quarterbacks who will be stepping in, every other player.
This is a cheat. He cheating there. That's what you're saying?
He is cheating. Yeah, I'm saying he's cheating. And I'm saying he don't win. And I'm picking the winner because I know the situation. Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's coming into a great team. So
who's your defensive pick then?
My defensive pick is it's kind of tough, to be honest with you. And I'm going to tell you why it's so tough. It's so tough because I feel like it's going to be hard for, you know, almost any defensive player to just come in and wreck shop. But if there's one who I believe in, it's a guy who you semi-mentioned but didn't quite mention earlier, and it's Jared Verse, right? And so Jared Verse gets picked up by the Los Angeles Rams. I was a big believer in Jared Verse. I thought he was the number one defensive. And I know Latu was the first defensive player selected. And I think he's a grown man too, right? But if you look at Jared Verse, he's going into a situation where they're losing their, I guess, the best defensive tackle in all of, you know, football for a long time, right? And they're trying to replace pieces on the defensive line. Well, they replace a piece in Brandon Fisk at defensive lineman. But last year, they go out and get Kobe Turner. So they have two good pieces on the inside. Now who's going to wreck shop on the outside? And I think that's going to be Jared Verse. And I think he's going to put in some work. And I think he'll have a chance to shine because they need edge help. And he'll be in a situation where he can shine because he'll have the support on the inside that he needs. So I'm going Jared Verse. Who you got for your offensive and your defensive player?
Okay. So, for my offensive player of the year, I'm going to say as I'm going through the names of the draft. I had to get a recap.
Can I tell them something? y'all listen, the draft is my thing. I love the draft. And Dez goes along with this. Dez goes along with it because she also can vibe with it. She's a football, she knows football very well, right? But the draft is really my vibe, and that's my thing, and so that's why we talk about it as much as we do. But Dez participates in this part, so go for it, Dez. I know you got a name. I just gave you more time too.
No, I have two names. I have two names that go for it. And if you know, I'm a defense. You don't know, I'm a defensive girly, so I love defense. Defense is my thing. So when it comes to offense, I gotta think about it a little bit. So I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. could be offensive rookie of the year because they say by far he's the best receiver in the draft class. But, big but, if New York can get it together, I think Malik Nabers can take it and steal it away. His confidence, his poise, he's ready to go. I feel like he may make something shake a little bit better than Harrison Jr. with Kyler Murray over in Arizona.
I told you I should pull it in. Go for it. Good work. I know you get there. Good work. Okay. What you got on defense? That's good work.
You know, a little bit. For defense, for some reason, he's on offense. He's not a defensive player. Sorry. I just lied. Okay. This is hard.
Yes, it's not easy.
But
in the meantime, look, while you're looking, I'm
going to say Dallas Turner.
Okay. Why? You're going to get this work. You're trying to play me. Go for it. Go for it.
If I could have been produced, really good.
Go for it. No. I like it too.
He is a chastiser to the quarterbacks. A chastiser. Okay. Yeah. Oh, he's really good for a defense. I want to read his little thing right here too. It says Dallas Turner.
Go for it.
Played in high leverage scheme under Nick Saban. Another reason why he played under Nick Saban, like put some respect on that name. Okay, so it's that he should fit right into Brian Flores' unit in Minnesota, which is very true. Brian is highly defensive. He will fit into that. Adding an athletic freak like Turner with a great first step quickness, bend and burst is huge for a defense that is always challenging the IQs of opposing QBs. So to me, that tells me he's coming off quick. He's fast. He got good hands. He's explosive. So he got good feet. Brian Flores is going to put him to work. He's going to make him even better. He's going to take Saban and make him Saber. I don't know. He's going to just enhance him and make him blossom into this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful defensive player. And he's going to be getting after the quarterbacks very quick and sturdy.
Good work. That's one of the ones, y'all. Good job. Good work. Yes, ma'am. Good work. I'm with it 100%. Yeah, I like Dallas Turner. And I think that fits the bill.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yep. So now that I had to make this outrageous prediction, I need to see the boys play at all or nothing. We do have to thank our sponsor because we have been on here for quite some time and we did not thank our sponsor yet because remember, it's a brand. No, it's not a brand. It's a lifestyle. Ooh, don't hurt me. Don't kill me. Okay. So let's go ahead and get this sponsor break in and we'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand. It's a lifestyle.
Well, you heard it here first. It's not just a brand. It is a lifestyle. And a lot of what we have to talk about, we've already completed. That was the meat. Bread and potatoes was in our first couple topics because we know y'all like to fall off after a little while. Y'all don't be paying attention. But we're going to slowly and more like slowly, quickly move in to our last three or four topics that we're going to talk about. Will the Texans win the AFC South? I think they will. I think they were highly competitive last year. They only are getting better with the weapons that they're putting there, like Stephon Diggs and all that stuff. So I think they're going to win out the South. I think they're going to be highly competitive for the AFC. And I'm, you know, I'm a fan. I really am a fan. I'm a fan. Until we get to have to, you know, until we got to play them, and then I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. But yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love what they did. I love what they did in the draft. What was so funny to me was how their quarterback, he lost it when the San Francisco 49ers picked Ricky Pearsall, right? Because he really wanted him on his team. He thought he would fall to the second round. Oh, he thought he would fall late. And I mean, I love what the Texans did. They really had a lot of draft picks and they did great work. Kay Stover from Ohio State was a good tight end. Lassiter coming from UGA, like people thought he would be a first rounder, at least a late first rounder. They get him in the second. I thought they did great work. So if you look at what the Texans did, they basically just added to what they, you know, what they already had. Yeah,
which is
Derek Stingley's great on the outside.
Right, being productive, getting what you need for your immediate return, like in your immediate return. That's that they are a prime example of. You want to build your football team for the now so they can play, and then what do you do the next year? Continue to build on what you're already building, and the next year after that, they're going to continue to build on what they're already building. Somebody should take some notes. Atlanta should take some notes from the Houston Texans because they did it right and it's been highly successful and it's just going to continue to become and be successful. So we predict that they are going to win the AFC South. I'm not predicting no further than that because I'm not doing that, but we are going to move on because we need to know, are the Rams returning to dominance? I heard a lot about them with the draft and like how they're really starting to pick it up and put it back to the gruntiness, even though Aaron Donald, they're going to be without him for the first time in a very long time. So I don't know what you think about this.
Yeah. So if I look at the Rams, one thing I really loved about what they did, we talked about already, which is Jared Verse, right? You get Brandon Fisk in the second round. You saw last year, they had a really great, running game, and you saw what they did on the outside and Puka Nacua, right? Like you saw how Puka like really did his thing along with Matt Stafford. I thought, and their offense is phenomenal, but they keep adding to that running game and Blake Corum they get from Michigan. I really love what they did with this draft. They're another team. They got a B+ in the draft because, you know, for what they did, but I thought they did work. And I think what they did was reestablish that defensive line and kind of bring in some pieces to cover up for the loss of Aaron Donald. Do I think they're going to win their division? That's tough because one of the things we were going to talk about is Seattle. Right. And the Seahawks. And I think there's some competition. And then you got to look at it. They're in the same division with the, you know, NFC champs in the 49ers. And the 49ers did work in this draft. So, no, I don't think they return to dominance, but I do think they return to contention another level from what they had last year. Right.
They're still competitive. Well,
I think they return to championship contention. Right. And I think they're closer to being a game away or so from you know, being champions.
Okay. Well, I mean, if their stars begin to align again, maybe they need to pick up OBJ again.
No, ma'am.
Anyway, moving on to some herstory. Not history, herstory. I love this, obviously, because I'm a woman of color. I'm pretty. We love this. The NFL hires their first Black female official. First Black. Third woman, first Black. So don't come in here saying she ain't the first Black. Okay? Third woman. So I love it. I believe you say it is Maya Chaka. I love it. She's coming over from, is it the XFL? UCFL. She worked her way up, and which I love that. I mean, I hate the fact that you have to do all of that, but the fact that she made it out the mud, worked her way up to get hired to now be on the higher platform of the NFL. I think she does this really great things, especially for women. A win for women, herstory in the making. She will have an article and a a flyer thing. You know, I'll do all that on my page, but I wanted to talk about it this year because it is a pretty spectacular history fact. And that's what we do here.
Let me ask a question. When you first saw this, right? Because I know you saw it today. And when you sent it in our chat, right? You're very excited about it. When you first saw it though, what was that first feeling?
I was like, oh, because growing up, fun fact, growing up, when I used to watch football with my grandmother, I started at like age 10. And that's when I became a Steelers fan. That's when Big Ben came into the league when I was 10. Don't try to count my age. Don't do it. But anyway, got into football when I was a young girl. And before I knew that there were NFL cheerleaders, I always said I wanted to be an NFL ref. I wanted to be a woman ref because during that time, for a long time, there's only three women NFL refs. So they just became refs. So for that many years, decades, there were no women refs in the NFL. And I always kept saying, I want to be a ref. I want to be a ref. I want to be a ref. Mm-hmm. I even did reffing in college to ref intramural games. I did basketball, soccer, flag football, because I wanted to learn the ins and outs. And that's why I love football so much that I wanted to be a ref. And maybe I still could be a ref. I don't know how to do it, what I need to do. But it made me so happy and so proud because, one, she looks like me. And it kind of fulfilled a childhood dream, like, oh, my gosh, like there is finally a woman who looks like me that'll be on the field and on the sidelines. And I think I hate the fact that it's now because it's so late, but I'd rather be better late than never. So I was just ecstatic. Like, I felt like, you know, how you get the confetti on the text message. I felt like the confetti popped out of my head. It was like, poof, we made it. We made it.
I love that. I love that. I'm glad I asked that question. It's a really big deal. And the reason I believe it's such a big deal is because hopefully this is something we start to see, and it's not as much of, you know, a headline. It is a headline because she's the first, right? But she's not going to be the last. And so hopefully I know she'll go in, and I know she's going to do, you know, great work. And I know, you know, like when I saw, you know, a first lady join the coaching staff in the NFL, right? And I saw that, I was like, wow. And then I'm starting to see more and more. And that's why I actually what it meant to you, because sometimes you got to see it, right? Like, you got to see it. You got to see representation before you get a chance to see it for yourself. Right. And yeah. So I love that this is a door opener.
Yeah. Representation definitely matters. And it is still a thing. It's still a thing in the pro cheer world as well. Like, and it's not just representation of just color, but also representation of shapes and sizes and different skin tones and different hair types. And it's like, that stuff matters. And it makes me sad sometimes when I think about how far we still have left to go, because it's like, well, why don't we see bigger women on the sidelines for cheerleaders? Why don't we see different hair types and textures as much as we should or we could on sidelines? Some teams do really, really well with representation and showing women of different colors and variations of skin tones and variations of hair type. But shapes and sizes matter too. And I love the fact that she's not necessarily she's a fit woman. We all know that, but she's not a skinny fit woman. She has a different shape to her. She has a different color to her. She has her hair looks very natural and kinky and curly. And I love that. Again, having to see that representation, like, now here I am as a grown adult, and one of my one time things that I've never saw in my life has now been fulfilled. And I now will see somebody who looks like me on the field because we deserve to be there. So it means a lot, which is why I want to talk about the show.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Beth, best segment so far. No arguments. Good job.
Everybody loves also wrapping it up. Okay. Final thoughts, doctor.
My final thoughts. We're going to be on a break for... I guess the next 2 months or so. We'll come back around late July. But
one more show.
Are we doing one more? We're doing one more, right?
Finale show. So we're gonna make that one real fun.
Bet. So we got one more, and then we're gonna take a break. And then after but during our break, we're gonna be interviewing, we're gonna be doing some hot interviews. So subscribe, right? Like, pay attention. And we'll start announcing the interviews probably next week. We'll start announcing who we got lined up as some of the interviews that you're going to see coming up soon. So subscribe to the channel. We're looking forward to it. No UFL coverage No, but there's another show for that, maybe. So we'll see where, you know, we get that UFL coverage.
Maybe next show. Never even crossed mind.
What's your final thoughts? We got to go because the full 94 is up next, y'all.
Yeah, my final thoughts is I just want to give some type of motivation. I don't want to talk about any like the sports thing. My motivation, my speak is if you don't believe that you can do it, yes, you can. Find somebody who looks like you that is doing what you want to do. Make sure that you're putting in the work, never giving up on yourselves, consistently believing in who you are, what you have, and what you bring to the table. And like our good Congresswoman, Shirley Chisholm will say, if there's no room at the table for you, bring a folding chair, sit down there, make your place at the table because you deserve to be there. And I'm saying it for myself and for other people. So never, ever give up. Keep going. We see what Maya Chaka has already done. We can do it too.
Amen. All right, y'all.
Bye.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.